Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
This is Dave Hart, and you're listening to Conversations with Dave on KSJD Community Radio. And in the studio with me today is Shane Hale, City Manager of Cortez. Welcome, Shane.
Hello.
So, you know, we see each other in all kinds of meetings and things, many meetings, but I don't really know a lot about you. And I'm not, and obviously we don't have time to get real in depth, but tell me how someone moves through life and becomes a city manager. How did you get into that?
It's a good question. After high school, I tell you, in high school, I was a fairly unmotivated student. You know, I was in school primarily to, I don't know, meet pretty girls, and you know, and one of them is my wife that I met in
high school. That worked out then.
And I think just meet girls and socialize with my friends. And I wasn't really a serious student, and so I enlisted in the Navy coming out of high school. I thought that I was really just the type of person that needed to get out and see the world. And I'm thankful that I did that. I think it really opened my eyes to a lot of things in the world. But it also showed me really quickly on that, you know, if you really want to get somewhere in the world, you really need an education. Nothing solidified that more to me than that. So I thought when I went into college that maybe I wanted to go into advertising. I've always been able to promote things, to sell things. At the time, I think the Budweiser frogs were pretty big. And, yeah. You know, just making people laugh. And, you know, I don't know. I just thought, okay, sure, you know, I'll go into advertising. So I studied that. And along the way, you know, because you need to take electives. And I ended up minoring in philosophy and really just kind of came across the world of political thought, you know, the world of ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
And just discovered this whole passion I had that I didn't realize, which is just, you know, just kind of the art of the possible, just kind of maybe making our lives a little bit better and actually having a voice and a say of how that happens. So I ended up enrolling in graduate school after college, and it was in public policy. Quite frankly, even when I started in graduate school, I was thinking, well, maybe I'll go into maybe campaigning, work for an up-and-coming congressman, and then just stay on his staff. Maybe I'll go into lobbying and maybe advocate for these groups that really need a voice at the legislature, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I took an internship in a little town called Poncho Springs, Colorado. It's in Chaffee County.
Mm-hmm.
I had been in Poncho Springs many times renting my skis there in high school. I always thought I was in Salida.
it's kind of a mess right there.
Right.
That intersection.
Right. And even looking at my receipts on the credit card, you know, when I was in college, it said Poncho Springs. I was like, I wasn't in Poncho. I was in Salida. That's silly. But it is a town, and it's this little bitty town. Mm-hmm. And all I'd ever thought of local government was just kind of that bad experience you get when you go in to get, like, maybe – and this is the experience I had in Fremont County. I'm not going to say I've had that experience anywhere else, but I'd go in Fremont County to get, like you know, maybe tags for my car, and there's really poor lighting. Nobody in there would make eye contact with you. And that was my whole experience with local government, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then I work in this little bitty town of Poncho Springs, and I see all of a sudden that, you know, you do have a voice of the policymakers. You really can make life a little bit better for yourself. I mean, you know, you like to play disc golf. Well, by gosh, write a grant and let's get a disc golf course here. You know, or you want a trail, or if that intersection needs a stop sign, by God, put a stop sign up. You know, and to me, it was all these things out there in the world that I wanted and that I valued, and just summed up night in a nice little package of local government. So I was hooked. You know,
yeah.
A lot of managers that I talk about city management really being a calling, and I will tell you, I feel the same way. I just feel like it's one of those jobs that, you know, where you can have really bad days, for sure. You know, any community can throw a lot at you, and you can have some days that are unpleasant. But you know, I still wake up the next morning, and I want to come to work, and I'm proud to work for the city, and I'm proud to work for this council and to do this job. So I can't imagine doing anything else.
You know, most people, that may be an embellishment. Many people never find their calling, and it's fantastic. I'm always, I say moved, cause that sounds a little too squishy, but moved by people who find their calling and go do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a critical piece in their life, but also, and I think about you and your position, as you say, the ability to make a difference in people's lives. That's fantastic. So tell me a little bit about what's the day and a day in the life for Shane, city manager.
You know what? One of the things I really like about the job is that it changes so much. There's so many different responsibilities. That your day is almost unbelievable when you look at the end and you see all these things you had. Yesterday we had interviews for architects for about 5 or 6 hours. We're interviewing architects for the new city hall.
Yeah.
We're going to have to remodel that.
Sure.
We purchased the old journal building.
Right.
So
right.
Spend a lot of time in meetings with architects. When I get back, I don't know, I had probably 15 voicemails and 700 emails and, you know, a few different staff meetings. That was yesterday. Today, I had a personnel issue at 8:30, had a meeting with the county road superintendent at 9:30, came back, worked on the budget for a couple hours, and then had the mayor stop by, and we had some issues we had to go over. Have this interview, and then tonight we have a joint meeting with the Borna County Commissioners over some outstanding issues between the two entities. So it's kind of a day-to-day kind of a deal. You know, this time of year I'm working a lot more on the budget, but
that's that time.
City Hall is a big project for us. Paradise Village is a big project for us. There's a lot of things that take my day and my time.
So speaking just briefly about Paradise Village, I know that has been something that, you know, I think you talked about it at Economic Development about the idea of having everybody do it all at one time, getting the sewers in, getting all that in. Is that part of what the issue is? It's really a big, big project or?
Right. Oh, yeah. That's 99% of the issue is that there's so many things, you know. I can't speak for the sewer because, you know, it's the same
right.
district that has
sure.
those. But I can tell you from the city standpoint, we've known for quite a while that the streets needed to be repaired, that the sidewalks needed to be repaired, and that the water lines were all due to be replaced. But, you know, you can't just do one of those things.
Right.
You know, you don't want to pave the street and then come back in and cut them up and do the water lines. You don't want to tear out and do all the water lines, not have enough money to do the streets. And so it's just been a lot of planning on our end to get all the money and resources and time to do all that. But yeah, it's a built environment. You know, if we said, okay, we've got a mile of road and let's put water and sewer and roll back curb and gutter and streets, it'd be a pretty easy project to do. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't take as much time. When you go into the built environment where you have people who live there and they're trying to get to work and you have all these other utilities already built there and a lot of conflicts, it's more complicated than most people would realize. And just the process of doing that, you know, I mean, you dig it up, you go and you lay your line, you're burying it as you go, and then after you've got the line laid, you've got to dig it all back up again, right, and do all those water connections. And people look at it and say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why didn't they connect it up when they were here the first time? Well, because it's not a live water line and we couldn't connect it up. But, you know, I'd say to the layman watching the project, it looks like our contractor's doing the same thing 2 or 3 or 4 times.
Right.
Just because they don't understand how that goes.
Don't have that training.
You wouldn't expect them to.
Absolutely. So we need to take a short break. You're listening to Conversations with Dave on KSJD Radio with Shane Hale. We'll be right back. right, we're back. This is Dave Hart with Cortez City Manager Shane Hale on KSJD Radio. So I want to talk a little bit about what you feel the role of the city is, our government in general, in economic development. I know that that's one piece. I mean, you got 1,000 pieces, that's one piece. But what do they do? What does the city do?
Well, I think first and foremost, what the city and any local government should do is do the other stuff well. You know, I think if you want to have a strong business community, you know, you should have well-maintained streets and sidewalks. You know, you should have, when somebody turns on the water, it should come on. The toilet should flush. If you call 911, somebody should show up. In your street sweepers and just all those things. I think your normal basic functions of the city, if we do those things well, then business stands a better chance versus us getting in the way of that. If you say the reverse, if your police department isn't good, if your streets aren't well maintained, if your city isn't clean, you really haven't done your part. You haven't done your part of the equation to grow. And so I'd say at a core function, those are all the things that any local government should do. When you look past that, you know, in Colorado, just the way that we're established, most of the money comes from sales tax. Right now in the city's budget, I would hazard a guess of 70% of our revenue comes from sales tax.
All right.
So it really gears us towards being growth dependent. It really emphasizes commercial development and commercial growth. It emphasizes when we get more jobs created in the area and people can afford a little bit more, they buy houses, and it's just kind of that the whole economy depends on this kind of growth. So, you know, we do participate in different efforts. You know, we help fund Makeda.
All right.
We also are with Mesa Verde Country. That's funded a few different ways, but the two big pots that come in, one is lodging tax. It comes directly from anybody who stays in town. They pay a lodging tax at any hotel or motel. The second way is there's a direct contribution from the city, from the general fund.
All right.
And so we really help fund the promotion and the marketing of the area. And, you know, I think that our marketing folks, everybody who's worked in there, Kelly and Mark and our own staff person, Amy McAlpin, has done a fantastic job of promoting this community and really bringing people here. And when I say this community, I mean Cortez, Mancos, Dolores. I think
that
we're all in this same thing together.
Absolutely.
And I think the more we can collaborate with them, the better, because people, Mancos doing well is good for Cortez. Dolores doing well is good for Cortez. So we definitely have a role in promoting the area as well. And other than that, I don't know. You know, I think that we have worked a lot closer with the chamber lately. I think we've got a good relationship with not only their board, but with their staff person, Michelle Rojas. Mm-hmm. I think she's doing a great job.
I think so.
I think just trying to be present, be in the room when there are problems, and there are going to be problems. You know, a business is going to come in, and they're not going to understand our sign code requirements or our parking requirements.
Sure.
And we have these rules in place for a reason, but we also, I think, need to be open-minded and open ears and hear folks out. And if they have legitimate concerns about developing, either give them an answer why we can't change the rule or consider changing the rule if it's there for no reason.
I saw in the paper looking like the income and the budget is looking pretty good for next year. Do you feel like that's – and I realize this is like every economist has a different answer, but do you like this is like a move forward, or is this like, oh, this is going to be for a year and gone?
No, I think the city is, you know, part of that article was about, I think the city is in a strong financial position right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it didn't just happen now. The city's in a strong financial position because I think that many city councils back to back, and I would say staff along the way, have all been really dedicated to just being smart with the city's money.
Right,
you know,
right.
We don't just spend it. It's not like, well, geez, if you don't spend it all, somebody's going to take it back. You know, if we don't spend it, it's
right.
there next year.
Right.
You know,
right.
And
I
so I think that, you know, not only would I give this city council a lot of credit for how much they really take pride in and take care in the city's finances and really take it to heart. And, you know, I've even heard it said in city council meeting, like, look, this isn't, I can't spend it like it's my money. This is somebody else's money. It's a hired burden.
That's absolutely right.
And so everybody in the room feels that way. And so what you read in the paper is just the fact that even after the purchase of the city hall, we still have really strong reserves. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were in a position to buy that building, and it's a capital need that's been out there for 30 years. And we're in a position because I think a lot of city councils have worked hard to be judicious with the money, and we've got it there. And, you know, it's always a balance. I think it's kind of a pendulum of, you know, if people say, well, I really don't like paying taxes, but at least if I have to pay them, let me see what I get for my money.
Absolutely.
And so it's, to me, it's a bit of an injustice if the city says, well, geez, look, you know, we've got taxes in place, and look at how much money we have in the bank. You know, we took it right out of your pocket and we put it in our bank account.
Yeah.
And so it's always that balance of, I think, being responsible with the money and making sure you have responsible reserves, but also making sure you're giving people services. And if you tax them, it shows up in the parks and the streets and other things that they use. So their quality of life goes up for the money they spend.
Oh, absolutely. And it is hard to pay taxes, but it's also, as you say, you want to see what's happening. Not that you want those reserves. You want to feel like the city's strong or the county's strong or whatever, but you also want to know that they're taking that money and doing good things with it. And that's a critical piece.
Right. And so the second part of your question is how I feel about the economy right now. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, I think the city is in a really strong position right now. You know, this year we're tracking, sales tax is what I've just seen. I think maybe September's I just saw. And we're up over 6% in sales tax right now, year over year, which is just a gangbuster number for local government revenue. So mm-hmm. lodging taxes are up quite a bit higher than that. So we have a lot of people visiting here. Revenue's good. And as a whole, I think that clearly the city lives and dies by our retailers. You know, we mm-hmm. need our downtown mm-hmm. to be healthy and profitable. So, I feel good. I think that our building permit numbers are going really high right now. You know, just kind of I'm seeing less and less vacant buildings. Which
it seems
is good.
Like it. Yeah, I thought it was just me, but yeah, okay, good.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we're seeing fewer vacant buildings. We're seeing, all signs are good. And that's not to say that there aren't businesses and people out there that are struggling. And I think, you know, we still have an issue everywhere with some underemployment. You know, I still think that real wages kind of need to come up. So mm-hmm. I don't want to say this and that. People think that, you know, I'm drinking champagne at City Hall. But I think things seem to be going in the right direction right now.
Oh, good. So I want to thank you, Shane, for coming in today. Appreciate it. Before we go, I want to thank every one of you who made pledges during the fund drive and who support KSJD Radio in order to keep this show on the air. Wait a minute. Shane just said what? Oh, he said, how do we get me off the air? Shane, don't worry about it. You know.
Yeah, I would say, kid, because I'm a sustaining member. Could my money go towards getting you off the air? Could I just buy you out?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. You've been listening to Conversations with Dave on KSJD Community Radio, where we talk about issues that affect our community and the people who live here.